Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, St. Patrick, St. Maria Goretti, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, if it wasn't a Sunday tomorrow, we'd be celebrating the memorial of St. Maria Goretti. I'm sure you all know who she is, especially the Italians among you would know who she is. She's the martyr of purity, died while defending her purity against a would-be rapist, Alessandro. You've probably all seen the story, heard the story. Ultimately, he converted and became a Third Order Franciscan and a doorman for the Capuchins for many years in Italy, where he lived out his life in reparation for the sin of murdering this young innocent girl. But what made her so great? What gave her the strength to resist his advances? It's not enough to have natural virtue in these cases. Her life was at risk. I believe it was World Youth Day in Toronto, whenever that was, a few years ago now, not quite 10 years ago. And our Holy Father at the time was holding her up as a model, that she would prefer to die than to commit a sin, and especially a sin against purity. And there were some websites of people who called themselves Christians who were mocking this teaching, that you should never do that, they said. It's not normal, it's not good. You have to choose the lesser evil, they said, in that sense. But it's not a lesser evil. There are things worse than death. But the fact is, without a special grace from God, she wouldn't have been able to do it. So what was her secret? When she made her first Holy Communion, she used to have to walk quite a few miles to get to the church. She went to make her first Holy Communion, and she received her first Holy Communion. And afterwards, the priest was asking the children, you know, because they were taught at the time, when you make your first Holy Communion, it's a very special moment. And so in that moment, you pray for something very, very special, something that you want, be it, you know, whatever it might be. And so as the parish priest was asking the children what they prayed for after the first Holy Communion, one would say a good job, one would say a good husband or a good wife. And they get to St. Maria Goretti. He says, Maria, what did you pray for? What did you pray for when you received Jesus in the Eucharist for the first time? She prayed, I prayed that I could receive him again. He was the center of her life. The Eucharistic aspect of her spirituality is also the center of her strength. Can you imagine a little child saying that? All I want is to receive Jesus again. Can you imagine any of us saying that? Do we really understand who Christ is in the Eucharist? She understood completely who he was. She was just a normal girl. In all other senses, she helped her mother on the farm. Her father died, unfortunately. She helped her mother out. She did the sewing. She looked after her baby brothers and sisters. She hoped to grow up and be a farmer's wife like her mother was. But she loved Jesus because she knew him, who he was, in the Blessed Sacrament. Even to the point where she would rather die, and it was a pretty gruesome death. She was stabbed 14 times with a file type thing, if you know what that is. And yet, even on her deathbed, she could say no to Alessandro, who she knew. He was the son of the next door neighbor, the partner on the farm. She said no to him, but more than that, she was taken to the hospital. And her wounds were terrible. It was all through her abdomen. There was nothing that could be done at the time. So she died a slow and somewhat painful death, dying also of thirst, but not being able to take water because they were scared it would cause infection, and etc. But the priest came to her, a good man, a good priest, and said, Maria, do you forgive Alessandro. You can imagine if it was your child to whom this had happened to. Apart from worrying and having care for your child who was injured, the next thing you'd want to do is probably some violence to the offender. Or even if it happened to you, you wouldn't be feeling particularly friendly towards him. And yet when this priest asked Saint Maria, "Do you forgive him?" She said, "Of course I do. I want him to be in heaven with me," she said. How can someone be like that? How can someone be so forgiving and so charitable? What is the secret? Naturally, it's not possible. Naturally, for our fallen human nature, we want revenge. We want what we think is justice. And justice is a good thing. But forgiveness and mercy is much more important. We can never give due justice without mercy. And so she forgave him on her deathbed as easily as that. She couldn't have done that unless she knew Christ in the Eucharist, unless he was the most important thing to her, because she knew that that is what he would have done. That's what he wanted to be done. She understood that it wasn't just her soul that Christ loved in the Eucharist. It wasn't just her soul that Christ wanted in heaven. He wanted Alessandro's soul as well. And so she set it up for him by forgiving him. Of course, her intercessory role for him doesn't end there. While he was in jail, he was under 18, so he was 17, I believe. So he just missed out on the death penalty. He would have been put to death if he was of age. So he got sent to jail. And all this time, he was telling everybody that it was Maria. She started it. She was tempting me. She was teasing me. And then one night, she appeared to him in a dream and gave him 14 lilies for each time that he stabbed her, forgiving him, letting him know that she had certainly not just forgiven him, but was praying for him now in the sight of God. When he woke, he went to the priest, confessed his sins, made a public announcement of the lies that he had said, told everyone how innocent Maria Goretti was, and became a model prisoner. And then, as I said, lived out his life as a third order Franciscan living in a Capuchin monastery. And afterwards, of course, he went to her mother's house, asked for her forgiveness. And she, in imitation of her daughter, says, "If Maria's forgiven you, how can I not forgive you?" The mother of the one who was slain. All this, all these heroic acts, and they are heroic. This is heroic virtue we're talking about. It's possible, but only with the Eucharist. We may not have to face that same kind of struggle. Please God that we never have to. But we have struggles in our lives. We have, yes, personal struggles with people who may not want to kill us necessarily in the physical murdering sense, but certainly who treat us badly, speak badly of us, try to ruin our reputations. We have trials, the physical trials, illnesses, etc. We have trials between family members, fathers and daughters and sons and mothers, and we don't know how to deal with them, and we want to give in to impatience, and we want to give in to trying to impose our idea of what justice is. But we're never going to get it right unless we have our heart and our mind centered here on Jesus in the Eucharist. We have so many opportunities to be with him so that he might guide us. Obviously, we have Sunday. If you can get the Mass on Sunday, if there's no serious obligation, then we go there to receive everything. You know, the homily is somewhat second place. It's important. But even if your priest doesn't speak English, maybe you're in some other country or you don't understand what he's saying, Jesus is still there. And he wants to give you something more. And then the rest of the week, It's something that I've mentioned many times in this particular talk. But do you live near a church? Do you drive past a church? Is there a possibility of visiting Jesus, He who is God, and wishes to give you enough strength that you can forgive your murderer, get him into heaven, that you can forgive the murderer of your children, for goodness sake? The world thinks that's craziness. And from a worldly point of view, it is craziness. But that's the immense power and love and mercy that God wants for each one of us. He knows that we are pathetically weak, and each one of us is not just capable of being the victim, we are capable of being the murderers. Alessandro was just a young man. He got caught up reading the wrong type of literature, quote-unquote literature. And he gave in to his passions. We're all capable of that if we don't keep ourselves close to Christ. And so in this month, this is the month dedicated to the precious blood of Christ. Let us draw closer to that blood, the blood which is of course present here. Body, blood, soul and divinity, Jesus Christ is present. Let us take every opportunity, visit the church during the week, or at least make the sign of the cross as you're driving past in a hurry, telling Jesus that you love him, you wish you could spend more time with him, but at the moment you just can't kind of get your life together to do that. But he can figure it out. Make your Sunday Mass the center of your life. Make spiritual communions. I can't get to Mass every day, okay. Lord, I love you, come to me at least spiritually. I believe you're really present there. I love you, help me. Prepare yourself to receive communion. Yes, with the sacrament of reconciliation, absolutely. But also during the week, think about what it means to receive communion. Start thanking Him. Start asking your guardian angel and Our Lady to prepare your soul to understand a little better who it is who is about to come into your soul and what it is He wants you to do with that gift of grace. As I was mentioning during Mass, God wants all of us, each one of you and me, to be a saint, canonizable, if that's such a word. Each one of you can be Saint George and Millie and Betty of Perth or Fremantle. I don't know if there's anyone with those names here, but you get the idea. That's what He wants from us. And the only way that can happen is if Jesus in the Eucharist is central to our life. We pray, therefore, to Saint Maria Goretti for a double portion of her love for Christ in the Eucharist, that each time we've received Christ in the Eucharist, maybe we can repeat her words, Lord, let me be able to receive you again, more worthily next time. Let this reception of you change me into the person you need me to be, into the person I was made to be. This is the power of the Eucharist. It's infinite because it's God Himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.